In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Personally, I'm no sailor. Melanie and I took a cruise for our anniversary maybe 10 years ago, and before that, I had maybe been in a boat less than half a dozen times. Now, all of my boating experiences have been pleasure excursions. I grew up in a port city, and I spent some time along the shores of the Chesapeake Bay. My observation is that sailors, fishermen, and other watermen tend to be a superstitious lot. I guess that can happen when one's personal and professional survival are at the mercies of circumstances beyond your control, such as the weather. And ghost stories abound along foggy waterways. My father was a sailor in the U.S. Navy back in the early 1950s. He would tell me stories when I was a child about some of the great storms that he encountered at sea. He spent most of his time on a huge battleship that was more or less impervious to the weather. But from his portal, though, in the worst of storms, he would see smaller ships seemingly disappear under the waves. And in a macabre mix of mortal fear and statistical inquiry, he would count the seconds that it would take for the ships to reappear. 1, 2, 3, 4. Sometimes he thought that they would never rise up again. The Jews in Jesus' day were only reluctantly sailors and fishermen. They saw the sea as being part of the original chaos that preceded God's creative action. To them, it was like a part of the world that had been left untamed by God. The open water was an evil, dangerous, spooky place for them. Verse 22 says that Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go to the other side. To get them out on the dangerous sea at twilight probably took a little persuasion on Jesus' part. The disciples would have been hesitant to do something so risky without their Lord and Master. Their fears turned out to be well-founded, too, because once they got a good distance from the shore, a storm came up, the wind turned against them, and the waves battered the boats. Drowning was a very real possibility for them. When we think about it, aren't our lives sometimes like the experience of the disciples out on the sea in the storm? The world we live in can be dangerous. Terror is all around us. Many situations are beyond our control. We often feel blown by the wind and battered by the waves of life. The storm that harassed the boatload of disciples began early in the evening, but it was morning before Jesus came to their rescue. What took Jesus so long? Why would Jesus procrastinate saving his almost drowning best friends? Do we wonder sometimes why Jesus seems to be so slow in helping us in our troubles? Does it seem to you that Jesus is slow about rescuing us too? Perhaps Jesus didn't rescue the storm-tossed disciples because his delay taught them patience. It taught them about perseverance in the face of adversity. It taught them to trust in him no matter how hopeless the situation appeared and no matter how long they had to wait for help to come. Those are hard lessons, but extremely important lessons for us to learn. Could Jesus be teaching us those same lessons the way that he responds to our emergencies and crises? I think he may be. When a child learns to walk, he often falls. If the parents prevented him from falling all the time, he would never learn how to walk by himself. By letting him fall and get up again, the parents teach the child independence and self-reliance. Just as loving parents allow their children to learn through trial and error, so does Jesus give us the opportunity to grow in faith and understanding by allowing us to struggle and flounder for a time. In that way, Jesus brings us to a more mature appreciation of his mercy and his power in our lives. When Jesus walked on the water toward his friends, they thought he was a ghost, which would have been a natural, culturally conditioned reaction for them. Jesus tells them immediately, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Jesus' presence creates courage and casts out fear in the disciples' situation and also in ours. Maybe we see Jesus best when we feel like we're about to drown in our troubles. As they say in the 12-step programs, you got to hit rock bottom. Sheer desperation sometimes causes us to focus solely, clearly on Jesus. Week after week, I am impressed by our members who face surgeries and chemotherapy and all sorts of medical procedures, who are buoyed by their faith and by their prayers and by the prayers of the church. I am inspired by the people of our parish who persevere in all kinds of adversity, trusting in God to deliver them in his good time. To be a disciple of Christ often requires navigating some very difficult waters, sometimes being swamped by the troubles of life, but always rising back to the surface again because of God's grace. Now, consider what happened to the disciple Peter when he tried to walk on the water like Jesus. Initially, he responded positively to Christ's command, and he did the unthinkable. He actually walked on water. Then he became distracted by the wind and the danger of the situation, and he began to sink. Again, isn't that what we experience in our lives? We hear the call of the gospel, we experience Jesus' loving presence, and we respond with faith and action, and it feels exhilarating. But then we get distracted by the cares of the world. We lose interest in Christ and his church. We neglect the gathering of God's people and give up trying to live the way that Christ commands us. We lose our faith and we sink. Thanks be to God, then, that Jesus is always there to rescue us as he rescued Peter when we cry out, "Lord, save me." As we feel ourselves sinking beneath the waves of hardship, Christ is there to take our hand and get us safely back into the boat. In this miracle, the boat is analogous to the church. Now, if you were seated right now in the chancel of our congregation, what we call the nave of the church, you'd see it has a very specific design. Now, the nave has the same Latin root word as our English word, navy. The way the pews are, you could easily imagine them to be the benches in the galley of an ancient ship. If you could imagine inverting the church, turning it upside down, the roof would be like the hull and the keel of a boat. This symbolism says that in the largest sense, the Christian church is the boat where we are all safe from the storm. When we're sinking, when we feel we're like we're drowning, Christ's presence is here to bring us back to safety. There is a bit of a paradox. You know how fond we Lutherans are of paradoxes. The paradox is that we come into the church by baptism, which is a kind of drowning of our sinful selves and rising up out of the water into a new life in Christ. Peter went down in the water because his faith was weak. Christ raised him up again, and from that powerful display, Peter's faith was given the opportunity to grow. Baptism starts us on a journey of faith, a cruise through sometimes dangerous and threatening water. But our final port of call is glorious. It's paradise. Let us then put our hand in the hand of Christ our Savior with faith and without fear. Amen.